You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Two of us in here are excited about burgers in a box. The one guy from the back. If you guys know me, you guys know that for the 4th of July, for Mr. Mark Smith, it is like Christmas for me. I love the 4th of July. I love celebrating the 4th of July. I love the 4th of July. So to get to celebrate it with two favorite people, my church family and my immediate family, and we get to be here and eat burgers, and it's going to be a good time. We are going to have just not the run-of-the-mill burger for you. We're having Oswego Grill come on down, and they're grilling up burgers. And yeah. All right, so that was the sermon, and we're done. Yeah, that's what I like. People are in the back, and they're like, "Preacher man, keep preaching burgers from Oswego Grill." So, come on out. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna keep it short. We're gonna preach a sermon. We're gonna get together, and we're gonna celebrate and enjoy. The freedoms that we have, and we get to worship Jesus together. Amen? Amen. Well, we are back in Jesus for Everyone. We are continuing this great series in the Gospel of Luke, and it has been an amazing series for me, and it's a book that I thoroughly enjoy. This morning, as we go into the Gospel of Luke, we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at Jesus' teachings. Jesus, he goes from doing miracles, and he's moving towards the cross. And in this stage of the story of Luke, he's moving towards his inevitable death. And he is moving, he's teaching, crowds are gathering. There's large amounts of people that are continuing to follow Jesus. And that's where we find ourselves in Luke 16. And in Luke 16, I've entitled it, Pay It Forward. Pay It Forward. Now, it wasn't that long ago, it was several years ago, where it became a social media phenomenon to tweet out, paying it forward. And what paying it forward was that you would go into a restaurant and maybe a drive-thru of sorts, and you would pay for the person behind you. Or you would be at a restaurant, you'd be sitting at a table, and you'd go, "Hey, I want to pick up that young couple over there's tab. I want to pay it forward." We're driving across the country. We're camping several years ago, and somebody did this for us. When we were in a drive-thru, they looked back, and they saw the chaos of a family of five and kids and jumping around back there, and they had mercy on Ash and I, and they said, "We want to pay for that family." And that was a nice gesture. I really enjoyed it. And my daughter, she's just genuine and sweet. And she got so excited about it that she was just like, "We should pay it forward." And so everywhere we would go, she would just want to pay it forward. I'm like, "Yeah, daddy's running out of money, honey." And she'd be like, "Oh, there's people behind us. Let's pay it forward." And so we paid it forward. And again, not too long ago, we're at Starbucks, one of my favorite locations. And we're in the drive-thru, and we get up there, and it's just exciting. Somebody had paid it forward. And they drove around. They could see us at the light, and they're like, "Hi." You know, usually I thought it was more like, "Don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing." But, you know, posting on Instagram, paid it forward. And it's a great gesture, right? It's really fun to do. It just for practical reasons, I went to Starbucks this morning before I came in, and I was going to do it, but there was nobody behind me. Praise the Lord. Kidding. And recently, I was reading a news article that happened a few months ago during COVID, and there was a restaurant that opened up, a Dairy Queen in Minnesota. And to date, the longest-running Pay It Forward, it started on a Thursday afternoon and finished on Sunday afternoon. Over 900 cars continue and consecutively paid it forward for the car behind them. What an amazing story. Unless you're the 900th guy. Right? Can you imagine? Money's tight. You get there, you're feeling the impact of 900 cars. Thank you. Just drive away. I personally feel the anxiety of that poor guy that just ended it after 900 cars. Well, paying it forward is something that it's in our terminology. It's something that we know. It's going out of your way to take what you have and to invest it into somebody else. It's to have the resources and to use your resources to bless others. And today we get into some parables, and today our text is technically chapter 16, verses 1 through 18. And I'll touch on all the way through the end of the chapter in verses 29 or 30 there. And we have these parables, and when we look at them, we can think, why? These are just random teachings that are kind of sprinkled in there. And we're going to deal with one of the ones that's actually quite problematic for a lot of people. If you look at the title in your Bible, it probably says something like, "The Parable of the Dishonest Manager." The Parable of the Dishonest Manager. And I really like this parable because oftentimes when I talk about people, they're familiar with it. This kind of weaselly man that I used to say used car salesman, but that's offensive if you're a used car salesman. I used to be a used car salesman, so it's not offensive to me. But it kind of has that feel of like the guy that's kind of selling you something that's going to break. And it's the guy that kind of gets the praise, not only from his master, but also from Jesus. Jesus gives him a bit of a shout out. And it can really rub people the wrong way. And I think as we look at today's text and we look at what the word says, I think that we can walk away pretty inspired from God's word. I think it'll surprise us in how to think, because what we're looking at is we're looking at money. We're looking at the dealings of money. And in this chunk of scripture, what we looked at last week, how many of you remember last week's sermon? We talked about the prodigal son, right? And there's three things. There's three lost things. There's lost sheep, lost coin, and lost sons. And those things are increasing in value. The way it's structured is your lost sheep, that's the least valuable. And then if you really dig into it, it's the woman's wedding coins, a wedding coin that would have been used as a gift, and there's 10 of them, and they're really valuable, and one was lost. And then it gets to your son, which your son is your inheritance, and how you'll pass down generational wealth. And so it increases in value. And then here, Jesus is going to turn to his disciples, and he's going to begin to talk to them about money. And so everything circulates around money and how to think about our money. And as we go through this, I want you to think about that. The number one, the theme that's running through these chapters is our finances, our money, and how we use it. And who does it ultimately belong to? Sometimes when we look at chapters and verses like this, we can get bogged down in the weeds, maybe sometimes by the title that was there that wasn't inspired, just like the chapters and verses weren't, or we can get bogged down in the details. But when we look at parables, what we want to do is say, what is the theme that's being talked about? And I assure you, it's money. You can go home and read up on it and check my work later. But that is what Jesus is going to turn to his disciples in the midst of the sinners and the Pharisees and talk about. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope that you do, chapter 16, verses 1, and I'll only read to about verse 10. I read through it a number of times, and it takes about 3 minutes. So I don't want to take up the whole time reading through the text. Here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 16. Follow along with me. "He also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him to that he was wasting his possessions." So this manager was wasting this owner's possessions. "And he called to him, and he said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'Oh, what shall I do, since my master is taking away the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'Hey, how much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to himself, he said, 'Take your bill and pay it down quickly and write 50. He cuts the bill in half. Right, cut it down to 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and cut it down to 80. Verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, his wit, his craftiness. For the sons of this world, non-believers, are more shrewd in their dealings with their own generation than the sons of light, believers. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when the wealth, it fails, they may receive you into their dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Now, this is the word of the Lord for us this morning, church. And in parables, what we're seeing in this particular parable is we are looking at a good lesson from a bad example. We're looking at a good lesson from a bad example. And in the scenario, what's going on here is we have this manager, think CEO, CFO, think about somebody that runs the owner's finances. And what he's doing is he's somewhere along the lines, he's messing with the books. And the way that this works, at least historically, and what we kind of know about this guy's profession, and along with tax collectors, and remember, Jesus is speaking to tax collectors. And what would happen is this guy was not only just the person that held the money of the master, but he was also an investor. He used the money to invest and to negotiate properties and to negotiate deals, and his fees were also associated with it. And what this guy does is he gets to this place where the books, they're not lining up. Something happens, and this guy goes, look, I've heard about what's happening, and it's time for you to turn in your books. You can't do this job anymore. And this guy, he comes to himself, the same word that the younger son used when it said he came to himself in the previous chapter. He comes to himself and he says, what am I going to do? I don't have another marketable skill. I can't dig because I'm not strong, and I have too much pride to go beg. So what am I going to do? And he comes up with this plan. And this plan, it seems a little bit shady at first glance, right? Where he goes and he meets with people and he goes, okay, how much do you owe my master? And he goes, cut it in half. How much do you owe my master? Okay, 80% of that and pay the bill. And what happens, it's really interesting that the master comes out and he looks at this guy and he commends him. And he goes, you're pretty smart. You're a pretty smart guy. What is happening here? This guy could have been locked up and put away in jail. This guy could have, he could have been sued by the master. On and on it goes. But most likely what the scenario is what this manager does is he cuts out his profit. So what he was doing, his markup, that he would go around like the tax collectors, that they would go and they would collect for Rome, but they would also put additional tax. They'd put additional fees. And what this manager does is he goes at his own detriment and he cuts that out. He cuts that out of the equation so that when people see him, that they go, oh, you're the one that cut my bill, that he took away his fees. At his own expense, he cut himself out of it. And then what this does ultimately for the master is it makes the master look good. It makes the master look like somebody who the fees are lower. And this master is just a steward of, this manager is just a steward of his master's stuff. And he cuts out all that is owed to himself, and he's commended. And Jesus uses this story as an example. Now, why does Jesus use this particular story as an example? Well, Jesus is going to use this story to compare. And what makes it a little bit uncomfortable is Jesus, what he does is he uses this story, it's a secular story. Now, and I know this can make people a little bit squeamish and uncomfortable, but I'm getting ready to say, but I assure you it's true, that parables are not always true. Parables are not always true. They are stories. To understand a parable, we need to understand what the meaning of a parable is. A parable is something, so para is to come beside, and bale is to cast. So it's literally to throw beside, to come beside. And what a parable is used for, a parable is used in such a way that it's going to use something that's clear, something we all know, farming, a mustard seed, a manager and a servant, and it's going to clarify a truth that we might not be familiar with. And so Jesus would use these stories, and so especially when they're pressed for real deep theological significance, sometimes you can get down in the weeds, and that's not the point. That's why we got to stay big picture. That's why you have to understand what is actually being said here. And Jesus comes alongside, and he says, these children of light, meaning believers, why are they not like the non-believers? Look at what the non-believing world does to preserve their job, to preserve their status. Look at what this guy does. He sets himself up so that when he leaves, he's received. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? You know, oftentimes it can be really difficult for us, especially Pastor Ron. He's been at this for 33 years, so it's a lot of years. You get into this ancient text, and you have to go, how do I make this relevant 2,000 years later? How do I take a text like this and make this relevant in 2021? Well, this, I think, actually has surprised me in its message to us today. You see, what Jesus is going to go on to say in the following verses that I didn't read, he's going to go on and he's going to talk about being faithful with little and being faithful in much, and that you can't have two masters, money and God. He's going to say you can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and you can't serve God. That money is a gift from God. He goes on to say in the Pharisees, in verse 14, he says, the Pharisees who were lovers of money heard these things and ridiculed Jesus. They did not like this. Jesus goes on to keep saying that the laws and the prophets that have come, that they're all pointing to him. And that he goes into this random verse. It can seem so random. Verse 18, everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. He who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Okay. All of a sudden, Jesus, you're talking about money, and then we went marriage seminar? What does this mean? Jesus is going to use this to merge the idea of how we serve one master or the other. He uses this, and he's going to go on. And the next parable in verses 19 and following is dealing with a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus, dealing with hell, and it's going to be this separation of the two talking to one another. And the whole point is Jesus is taking the verses we're looking at this morning, and he's going to say, this is how you live eternally. This is how you live paying it forward. And here's what I mean by that. What we do with our money, we can't take it with us. Think about your most prized possession. What is your prized possession? What is it that you just love? Like for me, you know, it's stereotypical, but it's just my truck. I love my truck. My truck's had a perfect bed. I bought a truck from a first-time owner. It had a bed liner carpeted, and I took it out because it just doesn't work. And yesterday, I went to go to Canby Sand and Gravel, as you do with a man with a truck. And I was going to call a buddy of mine because he has a truck that he loans out to everyone. And I was going to go borrow his truck so that I didn't have to get my bed all scratched up. But then I feared my wife making fun of me because I'm a man with a truck that I don't use it. And when I came home with that load of gravel, she assured me she would have made fun of me. So, you know, my truck, you know, certain things that have been passed down, like I have this Bible that I love, or there's certain family heirlooms that I love, but they can't go with me. How many of us are familiar with, you can't take it with you? Right? Isn't that terminology that we know about our wealth and what we have and resources that we have? You can't take it with you. But what Jesus brings to the surface here is he goes, there is a way that you can think about our resources. There's a way that you can think about our treasure that we have, that we pay it forward. And he's going to point out, there's two takeaways, I think, for us this morning in this text. The first takeaway is that we're managers. We're stewards. We're managers of our resources, not owners. Jesus is going to cause us to look at this story, again, this story that's a good lesson from a bad example. And he's going to say, the manager, he didn't own anything. Nothing was his. He was just merely managing his master's stuff. He was the manager, and he would go and he would invest his manager's money. He would use his manager's stuff. And he used it, and he was crafty enough to get welcome to get another job. How do we think about our resources? Are they really ours? Do they belong to us? Is it really, even that feeling of like, no, yeah, it is mine. I work for it. In this social media world, the Instagram world of, you know, I made it on my own, up by my bootstraps, and self-made, and this kind of mentality, it's hard for us to hear that it's not ours, that the Bible says that every good gift comes from the Lord. Everything that we've been given is given from the Lord. Well, I worked for it. You don't realize, Pastor man, I didn't have anything. That breath that you just took, the Bible says that the Lord gave you that. The ability that you could work, the Lord gave you that. The timing that you came into, the timing that you would be here in this place, in this time, in this part of history that you have what you have, it's all a gift from the Lord. And we are nothing more than stewards of what the Lord's given us. You know, it can be easy for us to think in, you know, 10% belongs to the Lord and 90% is me. No, it's 100% belongs to the Lord. The Lord has given us this amazing gift where he, you know, whatever your tithe percentage is, you know, for some of you, it's maybe greater than 10%. Maybe, you know, that can be the floor, not the ceiling. For others, you're in tough times and you're being consistent in a different percentage. But I think it's important for us to remember what I believe is being pointed to here. It all belongs to the Lord. You know, we went to Lake Oswego yesterday to the Lake Oswego Saturday Market. And we go there, and it was a great deal of fun, and we're walking around, and we went to this one little shop that we like, and they have these little donut hole-like things, and they're sweet, and they're salty, and we wait in line way too long and spend way too much money on them, but my kids love them. And my kids know that when we go here, that there is associated with getting a bag, they each get a bag at these little donut holes, and associated with that is a dad tax. You must pay the dad tax. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like I don't want to eat those calories. But what if I just take one donut hole from each kid, then that's just the dad tax. And then I tell them forcibly, you must give a mom tax. And every time, they're like, oh, why do you take a donut every time? And you and mom, you guys take it. That takes it down to us getting like 12, you know, whatever it is. And I have to remind my kids, and I did it again yesterday. They all belong to me. Every single donut hole. I paid for those donut holes. They're all mine. I could eat them all. I could get all three bags and eat them right in front of you. But you're lucky that I only take one out of each of you. And this is a silly story. But it is a reminder that it all belongs to the Lord. That when we hold the Lord's stuff, when we hold the treasures of the Lord, that it all belongs to him, that we're just navigating this world, and how do we invest into it? That it benefits not just this life, but the next. The takeaway really is that we can pay it forward. How do we do that? Well, we ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that this all belongs to you? What do we invest in? And what Jesus will say here is you invest into people. What if that money, what if that time, talent, and treasure that you have, don't be deceived that it's just preacher man's up there talking about tithing again. No. The older I get, and you know that I've really grown in wisdom. I'm 40 now. I feel wise. I really do. The older I get, it gets easier to write a check than actually give up my time. It gets easier for me to go, you know, I'll write a check to those missionaries, or I'll write a check to this event, but to give up my time. I think about right now, you know, we got George in the back who's been just pounding away at putting up slides for months in and months out, and he needs help. You know, we need help. If you can run slides, come volunteer. There's a hospitality team that needs help. As we open up more, there's kids that need you to be there to take care of them. As we open up into the community and more people are returning, there's areas where it's not just money. It's investing. It's not just going and babysitting nursery kids. It's investing into the eternal future of children. That we come to the Lord and we pay it forward. It challenges us to think different. It challenges us to think about how we use God's resources. I put down here, what if, just imagine with me, on that day where we walk into eternity, and we walk in and we see the Lord and we fall at his feet and we lay our crowns down or whatever we do and we worship the Lord. And the point that Jesus is making here is, what if when you walk in there, you've invested in such a way that there's just a sea or a large group of people that went, thank you. You gave to world missions. You gave to indigenous people groups that they were able to hear the gospel for the first time. That you used your time. You went to the people. You preached the gospel. What about the way that you spent your money? It allowed for people to hear the good news and be welcomed into the kingdom. That really is the point of Jesus. Jesus is making the point that if you look at the world and how they're just trying to get a job, they're trying to pave their way for their future. Jesus says, look at this example. If we had that kind of conviction towards eternal glory, if we had a perspective, if we lived a life like this isn't it, like there's something beyond this, and we used our time, our talent, and our treasure in ways that would not just affect this life, but it would affect the next life. That we can't take it with us, but there's certainly a way for us to pay it forward, amen? And I promise you this, church, and I haven't been to heaven yet, but I promise you that based off the Lord's word, we will not regret it. We will not regret taking serious the claims of Christ and living as though, and not living as though this is the only world that we're in. There is a grander world. There is something beyond this world that is every bit as real. And investing in that will be our treasure. That will be the treasure. That is the treasure that moths can't destroy. That is the treasure that rust will not overtake. That is an eternal treasure. So it's very practical. What do we do with this text? What do we do with this today? Well, there's the short term. You go out to lunch. You can go to coffee today. You can pay it forward for the person behind you. If you have the resources, go out, and it would be great to see Canby Foursquare go out and bless somebody. You could practically just go, I'm paying for the coffee back there, and I hope I'm behind you. And then secondly, it's a mindset. It's a mindset where we go, Jesus, do we believe this? Do we want to live like this? Do we want to go, Lord, how do we use what we have to pay it forward? Not in just this kingdom, but into your eternal kingdom. Lord, what are places where we could give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, that when we walk in there, it won't be praise for ourselves. It won't be praising us that we led so many people to the Lord, but we'll see more people in heaven than those at the gates of hell. And that is an eternal perspective. That is the perspective that we want to have today, church. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you've given it to us as a gift. Your word is a gift. Lord, as we navigate scripture and we ask ourselves for your conviction, Lord, would you cause us to live this out? Would this be a way that we live? It would be a lifestyle that we live, not a teaching that we hear, but a life that we live. God, I thank you for Canby Foursquare. I thank you that there is a legacy on this church for living this way. I thank you that there's a reputation at this church for generosity and kindness to others. God, I pray that we would continue to live that out for your glory. Lord, would we use what we have to affect eternity in the next life? We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.